about the importance of a Catholic school education. I'm a big proponent of a Catholic school education. I'm a product of Catholic school myself, K through 12, and I think a lot of ways we're doing a better job today catechizing to kids than we did many years ago when I was going through Catholic school. But I had a good Catholic school experience, and I'm happy that my daughter has had the same. And to talk with us about that is an adjunct professor at the University of Detroit Mercy and retired teacher of 25 years at Loyola High School in Detroit, Kathy Gross Jasek. Thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the request.
So let's talk about Catholic school education. I can't think of a more important time than educate our children and the faith and what we're going on in the world today. And we know that, Kathy, during the pandemic, when kids were on lockdown and a lot of the public schools went online, Catholic schools remained open and their enrollment went up and people are still sending their kids. In fact, a lot of Catholic schools have a wait list right now, which is a good thing. So, you know, you, from what I understand, is the longest employee of Loyola High School in Detroit, right?
Well, at this time, yes. Ann Riley, who was assistant to the president, she passed away a year ago, and she was there, I believe, 29 years.
Wow, okay.
The year of the school.
Okay, yeah. So tell us about what led you to want to teach at a Catholic school?
Oh, well, I was at the University of Detroit Mercy, and I had a grant from the Eisenhower Foundation to do experiential-based math and science with teachers and providing that opportunity and services in that. And one of the schools we partnered with was Loyola High School. And during that time, I was able to meet the faculty and the administrator, who was Father David Mastrangelo at the time. He was the principal. And that summer, he called me and asked me that he had a need for summer school teacher, if I could work it in the schedule. And that's how I started. And by the end of summer school, he asked me if I would come on and full-time and be a teacher at Loyola. And I learned a lot doing summer school with the young men there, that it was like, sure. And at that point, I was working toward my teacher certification. So we just did on-the-job student teaching at Loyola. So I actually was working through it, and they were so supportive. And obviously, my heart is was there because I stayed as long as I did. Even the first student teaching director I had, she goes, well, you know, you could make more money in a public school. You could have all these other opportunities. And it was like, seriously? At a public school, you don't have the compassion, the warmth, and the ability, the freedom, I want to say, almost to teach what you believe and to teach creatively in ways that they are limited by testing and scores and driven by state curriculum that sometimes deters from what students really need to know.
And you also can weave in the faith in every subject, you know, which I loved about Catholic school and what I saw my daughter experience is that you can weave the faith in math, you can weave the faith in history, you can weave the faith in all these different subjects that you can't in a public school.
Correct. To start every morning with the entire school in morning prayer. I cannot think of a better way to start your morning in your workplace environment than for everyone to gather together to pray.
And you're also an award-winning teacher. You got a grand prize winner for the Henry Ford for the Most Innovative Teacher of the Year. You received another Carol McNish Award of Service from the McNish Foundation, the Ann Riley Heart of a Servant Award from Loyola High School, Amazing Catholic Educator Award in 2019, the League of Michigan Teachers of the Year, Rare Everyday Hero Award, Coach of the Year Award for the Detroit Urban Debate League, among others. I mean, this is pretty impressive here.
Well, you know, and what's interesting is they almost all relate to service in education. I received a grant years ago from Youth Service America to do a semester of service. That meant that whatever I was teaching at that time, and it happened to be world regional geography and history, you wove in that entire semester service. And it fits so appropriately with Loyola. And so our motto was, each day we make history, how are we going to make it great? And so the young men developed where they wanted to serve. We had speakers from Focus Hope, Forgotten Harvest, different community leaders, you know, talk to them about the needs and the need for food production and helping others. So they developed in teams ways to provide funds. And one of the things they did was teacher's class that we went to a local public school near us in Detroit. And every Friday they filled it with fresh fruit and vegetables and snacks for the children to take home for the weekend that the teachers could give them. And so we would do that. They raised enough money to serve 10,000 people to package meals at the end of the year. And this was just a group of 22 boys that got together and got very creative on how can we do the most in one semester. So they did videos. They, you know, promoted it everywhere they went. And, you know, it just warms your heart that you have a principal, you have a leadership in a building that says, go with it, you know. And they truly made history. Things like that, you know, they inspire you to do more. They inspire you every day that you're there. That, and what's really wonderful and something it sounds like you're very familiar with is once someone sees how they can help another, that increases their own value of self-worth. And a lot of times youth today are struggling with self-esteem and value. And when you give them an opportunity to see their gifts and how they can serve others, that just excels tenfold. And that's what, you know, teaching has been for me. Yeah, I've taught so many subjects at Loyola. It's always a trivia question. One of our reviews is, what didn't Miss Gross teach? And it's phys ed, theology, and art. But those were always part of every class I taught.
That's funny.
Even in, you know, in English, you know, when I had senior English for 18 years, they would write letters to people that were isolated, people in the military, people in nursing homes. That was part of what we wove into curriculum. And that's why, you know, it seems crazy, all these awards I've gotten. I'm just overwhelmed. And it's all because the root of all of it is how can we serve others? And if education doesn't bring us there, then it has no value to me.
Amen. We're talking with Kathy Gross-Chasek here on Epiphany. And I'm familiar with Loyola High School in Detroit because I did some PR for them for a little while. But give our listeners background of Loyola High School in Detroit, about the school.
Okay. Loyola was started in the 1990s because the high dropout rate for African-American males in the city. And so the city leaders actually came to the Archdiocese about starting an all-boys school. And at first they were going to do a public school, but then the ACLU fought that because you can't do same-sex schools with public money. So they went to the Archdiocese, who went to the Jesuits, who decided to open Loyola High School or Academy at that time. And by making it highly structured in support, and that's always been it, the compassion and support for each young man who comes in there, because the reality is many of them have lived through circumstances I could never imagine. Mm-hmm. And others, you know, not so much, but there are a lot who carry a lot of pain, a lot of anger, and a lot of lack of self-esteem of any value whatsoever. And so having a great support team from counselors to teachers to administrators, everyone in the building, that helps these young men see their value, their abilities, their a chance to just shine and be whatever their goal may be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that was our purpose, and we get students from all over.
And I know they have in the past it had 100% go to college rate to graduate.
So for 11 years straight, we've had 100% college acceptance. And I have to tell you, in our changing world, we're kind of pushing that go on to be a productive citizen. It doesn't have to be college, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are better, the skilled trades are lacking.
Sure.
And
sure.
But the reality is all of them do get accepted to colleges, and then they make the choice that's best for them.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're giving them opportunity. I mean, they can have a good career, a good life in the trades as well, and that's a really good point.
Absolutely.
It's about giving them stability and a choice. And Kathy, I understand you also coach debate. Is that true? You worked on the debate team?
Yeah. Right. One of my past students, his father, came to me at one of our events and said, "Miss Gross, I have something for you. We need to start this debate team at Loyola, and it's going to be very little work for you." Well, you know, that's never true.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Kenneth Lewis was his name. Unfortunately, Ken has passed, you know, due to cancer. But he was an attorney for Plunkett Cooney Law Firm. And so he got his law firm when he was alive to support our debate team financially and get it started. And we had help from the Detroit Urban Debate League. They are the ones who really supported us, taught us. I had no clue going into it. And here, you know, after 11 years, in our very first year, we ended up being the national qualifier, the champs for the league, and going on to New York City to compete nationally, and every year since, almost, except one, I think, we've been the national qualifiers. We've been state champs several times. The young men have been the number one debaters in the state, and it's so exciting for me because I have to tell you, I was clueless starting, but I had so much support to help me get there that I could help the kids, and the Wayne State debaters, the U of M debaters all chipped in and helped the guys and me as well. And they shine. They do amazing things, and they're always so shocked by themselves when they do win, when they do come.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this."
It's a great skill to have, especially in the world we live in today. I'm thinking about even this abortion ballot that's on the proposal. I mean, to be able to debate that and to show the dangers and the intrinsic evil. I mean, just a great skill to have as anybody, but as a Catholic too, because we have to know how to debate these issues.
Yes, and you have to have an openness to understand why people think the way they do, and then find ways to show how your perspective is the better one. Once you put together their perspective and yours, you have to show how yours outweighs their case.
I love that approach. I really love that approach because it's really what I talk about as well as a coach, because I do a lot of leadership and life coaching, is seek to understand first and to understand where other people are coming from and before you try to be understood. You know, understand where is the person on at their faith journey? Why did, and I tell people that all the time. Ask questions. You know, where did you come to learn that? Why do you believe that to be true? You know what I mean? Where did you do your research? You know, because you have to understand their mindset in order to have a constructive conversation. Unfortunately, we live in a world of social media where everybody thinks it's okay just to attack everybody.
Yes, and that's exactly the point. We do policy debate, and that is evidence-driven. That means you have to have real facts. You can't just get up there and proliferate and sound real good. You have to have real facts that are substantial to support your perspective. So you can't just have a lot of hot air. You've got to have something to show that. I've done debates at the university. They would have their honors college do, and when they're looking for a conservative perspective, they'll ask me. Because I'm often on the opposing side.
Yeah.
Others. And I have to tell you, it's really interesting because some of these professors will come in and they'll say all the things that sound good, and then I'll come with a binder of facts and evidence, and then they have no answer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then the audience, all their questions will be directed at me afterwards because, you know, you have real answers.
Yeah.
Now, some of them are phenomenal and they really have a lot to support it, but it was quite eye-opening to me of the mindset of some And it just sounds good, even though you have nothing to support it whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Kathy Gross, JSIC, adjunct professor at the University of Detroit Mercy and retired school teacher of 25 years at Loyola High School in Detroit. And I want to talk to you, Kathy, about what would you say to people about the value of a Catholic education today?
Okay, it's personal, it's humanistic. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my first college psych courses was on humanistic psychology. It was taught by a woman who was a survivor of Auschwitz. Mm. And when you look at the individual totally, the Jesuits call it, I believe, curis personalis, the entire person. That's what you get in Catholic education. Mm. Is, you know, you're going to, the reality is, you're going to be there to support the child no matter what they're going through in life and where they are. One of my first eye-opening experiences was going to a funeral. Two of our students, their brother had passed from epilepsy. He had choked and died. And when we went there, I went with Brother Baranek and Father Dave. The two boys were alone. There was nobody else there with them. And when we came, and they said they couldn't go in because they just didn't have the strength. And Brother B went and gave him a hug, you know, something you can't do in public school. Gave him a hug, and the boy just broke down and cried and cried and cried. And then when they were done crying, you know, with hugs from Father Dave and Father B and I, we all went in together. You faced it together. And that gave them, you know, they needed that. They needed that extra support that might not have been there in their family, and that's so unique. They need the chance to pray. You know, when we had some courses virtual, and a student sends me a message in the chat, says, "Miss Gross, my cousin just got killed. I'm going to leave." And it's like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then I can quickly notify the counselor, the dean of students, the principal, and all of them immediately go to the family and reach out and help them. Mm. You know, it's a total team approach. It's not just the academics, because that's important. That's incredibly important for them to be successful.
Sure.
But it's how you nurture that child, no matter how old that child is. He can be 18 and 350-pound football player. He's still a child that needs guidance and help. And you'll, and my experience has been, you'll get it in a Catholic school.
Amen. You're right. Mm-hmm. It's about the whole person. And I've seen that myself, my own experiences as a mom myself, raising my child in a Catholic school education. We're talking about the value, the importance of a Catholic education, especially in the world that we're living in today, where we live in such a divisive world. And Kathy Gross, JSIC, is with us. Kathy, I'd like to ask our guests whenever possible about their own aha moments on their faith journey, that epiphany moment where, you know, God is speaking to you. Do you have an epiphany moment you could share with us right here on Epiphany?
Sure. One of the most compelling things that happened to me is when I was being selfish, actually, very selfish. I wanted to go to this Christmas party, and so, I was invited. It was a place I was waitressing, and was all excited, getting all made up and everything, and anxious to get there because I had worked during the day and had to hurry. And it was snowing. It was in December. It was December 18th. Okay. And I came out to the car, and my neighbor was outside in a T-shirt, and I said, "Ronnie, you're going to freeze out here." And he goes, "Well, I just got back from the hospital," and he told me his youngest son had just been in an accident and broke both his legs, was in a body cast, had damage to his head, everything. And and I said, "Oh my gosh, you know, that's horrible." And his response was, "Kathy, it's horrible, but he's still alive, thanks to God." Mm. In moments like that, when you see others suffering and they can reach out, then you realize, wow, how can I not? When I worked at the Jesuit provincial office during the Rwanda massacre, and Father Doust had gone, you know, the Jesuits had refugee camps. And they were all slaughtered. The Jesuit novices and that were all murdered. And he had to go to Rwanda, and I was transcribing his speech when he got back. And he said this woman, they were coming by truckloads, women and children, across the border.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman had a little baby in her arms, and she goes up and she walks out, and she has got the biggest, brilliant smile. Now, her husband, her other children have all been killed. And she's got, and, she, and he asked her why she was smiling, and she said, God saved my baby. Now, faith of others like that, that's what gives it to me. When I look at and hear the stories and watch others who suffer so much, my life is so blessed. It always has been.
Wow.
And we take it for granted so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so many suffering people have such strength, you can't help it. But
mm-hmm.
just, it's catching. You know,
it yeah,
really,
it is. You know, that reminds me of a story. I was interviewing some priests and seminarians who were going to Iraq to be of service to the persecuted Christians there. And they said, yeah, we thought we were going there
mm-hmm.
to help them, to teach them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to cry because it's like they taught us about faith.
Yeah.
And to watch that, I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, their faith is unbelievable. He goes, they're living in tents and caravans, and they lost everything. And some lost their children and their husbands and their wives. And here they sat and believed and still had faith that you'd never see anybody have before. And we're grateful for what they still had. And he goes, here we thought we were going to come from America and be their support, and they were our support.
Yeah. You know, right after college, when I finished at Michigan State and I'm 23 years old, I went to Brazil in the Amazon in the missions. I traveled with sisters of Mercy, well, not Mercy, but Mary's sisters, and people there have absolutely nothing, right? They have to work that day for the food they eat that day. And yet, if someone in their neighborhood or community is sick, they give up their food for that family
go
without. That, you know, at 23, to see that, like you said, you think you're going to help? No, they give you the faith. And I think that comes back to teaching, too.
Yeah,
I have learned so much from my students about life that I never imagined I'd ever learn and know.
Wow.
You think as you're going in as a teacher, you got this. No. And I've seen teachers come and go. You know, I'm the longest lasting teacher at Loyola, and at first they wanted all males, and because they wanted the role models. Well, they came and they went and they came. And a lot of people came and went, right? But what's funny is that it's because they come in and think they're going to solve their problems and they're going to take care of them, but it's not that way at all. You have to be open to them helping you be a better teacher, helping you be a better administrator.
Wow.
Or it doesn't work.
That's great advice. What a wonderful perception and perspective on teaching. Kathy Gross-Jasek is who we're talking to. Kathy, we have about 3 minutes left with you here on Epiphany. What else do you want to share with our listeners before we let you go?
Oh, don't give up. Whatever you're doing in life, when you know it's the right thing, don't give up. Don't give up on kids. Don't give up on others, even if they are driving you to tears. Don't give up on them. Produced a video a few years back with a grant from the Michigan Humanities Association, and it was about women raising young men alone in the city of Detroit and how they are truly at times abandoned. And the stories of these women all ended with, don't give up on my son, whatever you do. No matter how hard it is, no matter how frustrating, don't give up. And that's it. Even as a teacher, the most difficult students. I got a text from a senior yesterday to me saying, please come back, Miss Gross, one more year, please. So always be, and this is a kid who drove me crazy every single day to try and get him to work. And that is like, seriously, it's that those are the kids They don't want you leaving him, so I will go back and tutor him and others, you know, now that I'm retired, I'll still go back because I just can't, you feel like you're abandoning you.
yeah.
And you can't give up.
Mm-hmm. Was that a movie you produced, you say?
Yes, yeah.
Where could you see that? I'd love to see. Is it a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary, and I can send it to you.
I'd love to see that.
It's called Never Alone in Detroit, and Principal Jones, our principal at Loyola, was very instrumental in helping me get this done and getting the women and, you know, asking the questions. He's a great person, and that made a big difference in its success. And so, yes, I will definitely get you a copy, and people can get copies from Loyola High School. They're free.
Oh, and great. I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing the story with us and the importance of a Catholic education with us.
Yes, absolutely. I am very blessed and grateful to have been at Loyola.
Yeah.
25 years is an amazing gift they gave me.
Yeah. Well, God bless you and the work that you're doing and continuing staying in touch with those kids and tutoring them. They need you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your Epiphany moment with us here on Epiphany.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a wonderful day.
You too. God bless you. Kathy Gross, JCIC adjunct professor at the University of Detroit Mercy and retired teacher of 25 years at Loyola High School in Detroit, talking with us about the importance of a Catholic education. There's such great value, and I know there's, for some people, it may be tough to get your kids Catholic education, but there are grants and opportunities for tuition assistance and so look into that. I know that a lot of Catholic schools, there is a wait list today because of the pandemic, and there was an increase in student enrollment, which is wonderful. It's always a good thing that there was an increase in student enrollment. But there's such value. And you heard Kathy talk about educating the whole person, the whole person. I want to thank Kathy for joining us here, Kathy Gross Jasek here on Epiphany, and of course Kevin Mr. Peace Zawala, a returning guest of Epiphany, updating us on the apostolate and how he's addressing the woke agenda in our schools, speaking of schools, and thank you both for joining us here, and all of you for tuning in this Saturday afternoon here on Epiphany, and as always, we remind all of you, our listeners, to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your Catholic community, and we'll catch you next time here on Epiphany tomorrow at 3:00.